Turning to some natural alternatives and herbs for pets with a guest who's been with us a few times now. Great to have her back, Dr. Carrie Donahue. She's owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Actually has a practice in a front. Her place of business is pretty near our home, as a matter of fact, right in my neighborhood. She provides an option for holistic and alternative care in addition to basic conventional veterinary services. She also performs, certainly. Services provide that she does includes acupuncture, botanical medicine. She does vaccines and other wellness care, and does nutritional recommendations as well. So lots that we can talk about with her, and certainly I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. You can post a question or a comment there. I'd love to hear from you. Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back.
It's great that you could come by. Your practice, it's both conventional veterinary medicine and holistic care.
It is. Yeah, the practice that I strive to have is kind of integrative.
Yeah.
So I combine both conventional veterinary medicine along with the holistic perspective, just to take into account everything that's going on with an animal and then treat it the best way that I can, and in a way that works best for the animal and for the owner.
Yeah, that's great. And you have, I'm sure, plenty of business out there.
I do, yeah. Business is wonderful, you know, and it's, I think a lot of people are looking for alternatives, some more natural treatments, just to have another option, and there are always options.
Yeah. Jackie in Ingleside, Illinois has a question for you, so let's turn to Jackie. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call and for having this program. I have a cat, a Siamese cat, and he has been, he's 14 years old, and he's been diagnosed as hyperthyroid. And he, I had him on medicine for 6 months here, but he's starting to do some really bad things, and I looked at the things he was doing, like plucking his hair out and meowing excessively in a sense that it's not his normal meow. It was a, well, I can't even explain. It just wasn't his normal, you know, Siamese who talk. Well, anyways, I wanted to know what are some alternative, I know there are alternative medicines that I can use for him, and please help me with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, with the hyperthyroid cat, the biggest thing that you, that's the most important thing to do is to get it regulated on the medication that you are giving. So it sounds like, have you had his blood work checked to make sure that his thyroid levels are right where they should be with the medication?
Yes, that was done.
Okay, okay. So you're looking for something.
On pill.
Mm-hmm. What I will typically recommend for hyperthyroid cats, and what I use the most often, is a combination of acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine. And there are a couple of different Chinese herbs that will help to sort of regulate the thyroid. A lot of times, even doing the acupuncture and the herbs, it's not enough to get the cats completely off a thyroid medication that you might be giving, but it definitely helps you lower the dose of that and makes the cat feel a lot better.
What about this I've been reading about this thing called Pet Well-Being Thyroid Support Gold, which was formulated by veterinarians who are also holistic vets. Do you know anything about them, about this?
Well, I have not used that product. There are definitely things that are out there that you can help to use to support the thyroid and support all of the other organ systems, help support the immune system and all of the different endocrine organs as well. So I always think a supplement like that is probably a good idea, but it's always good to check with a veterinarian and talk with a holistic veterinarian too, so you know that you have several people on your healthcare team that are kind of working to make sure that your cat stays healthy and stays regulated.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
When I I took him off his med, and I'm going to go back in another 2 weeks here and have his blood test taken. And if that's not regulated by then with food, doing food, I'm also changed his food thing. And then if it's still not, then you suggest I go back on the meds, the traditional medicine?
Well, what I would do is gather information. So talk to your regular veterinarian, take into account the blood work, the diet, nutritional status, and then, you know, talk to a holistic veterinarian, too, about your options. And if you're thinking about adding in a supplement, make sure that you get the information before you add that in, just to make sure that everything is working synergistically and correctly for the cat.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Jackie, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call and good luck. How easy is it to find? She's in Illinois.
Oh.
She was from Ingleside, Illinois. How easy is it to find a holistic veterinarian?
Well, they're certainly out there. And one of the best websites that you can go to that has a complete list of holistically trained veterinarians, either in acupuncture or herbal medicine, is the AHVMA. And that's the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. And the website is AHVMA.org. And there you can get a lot of information on veterinarians that are practicing holistic medicine or veterinarians that might be able to consult with you.
So it's AHVMA.org.
Yes.
We'll try to put Judith shaking her head. Yeah, we'll have that up on our Facebook page in a matter of a few minutes, I'm sure. So people can just go right to it and click from the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Mary in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Good. I have a 14-year-old poodle.
Okay.
And she's about 6 pounds approximately. Mm-hmm. And she has an increase in the watering of her eyes to the point that she's starting to get a buildup, you know, kind of a crusty buildup underneath the corners. And it's starting to get red on the inside corners of her eyes.
Okay.
In between groomings, I've just noticed this increase maybe in the last 6 months. And I'm wondering if there's any herb or vitamin or anything that I need to be doing to supplement her diet.
Okay. I've been seeing a lot of dogs lately that kind of have this sort of eye drainage, and a lot of times it's a clear drainage that's happened over the last couple of months, and I really think a lot of it might be tied into the changing of the seasons. There could be some allergy association there. It's really sometimes hard to say when you kind of rule everything out, like an eye infection, and it might be a good idea to take your dog into the vet just to have everything kind of checked out, get the pressures checked on the eye, have a retinal exam done, make sure there's nothing else going on that you might be able to treat. And then, you know, maybe going down the route of seeing if there are any allergies that might be going on, keeping the eye healthy. Another good thing that you can do, and kind of tying back into the dentist that were here earlier, take a good look in the mouth. Sometimes dental disease can cause, because everything is so closely related, can cause issues with the eyes. So that's a good idea to check, too.
That's a very good point. Thanks, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Dr. Carrie Donahue today about natural alternatives and herbs for your pet. Catherine in Chippewa Falls, thanks for calling. Hi.
I'm calling about my dog. She's about 5 years old, a German Shepherd Terrier cross, we think, about 38 pounds.
Okay.
She has that collie nose discus lupus condition, but I took her in to get her washed and clipped and all that, and they suggested that they should pluck her ear hairs because she has the floppy kind of ears, and I'd never heard of that before, and I said, well, will you check with the vet that it's not a bad idea? Oh, God, she's going to bark now. That it's not a bad idea for her with the skin immune system issue. They said, no, not a problem. Then they plucked her ears, which made her horrifiedly irritated. We ended up putting mixture of baby oil and hydrocortisone cream in there till they calmed down. She's starting to shake her ears again, and I don't know what the heck to put in there. So I'm hoping you have something nice and holistic and comforting to her.
Oh, does it seem like she has an ear infection at the moment, or is it just some local irritation?
When the ear plucking gave her local irritation that lasted 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So for her, it might be a good idea to leave some of the hair in the ears. I know some dogs have...
Oh, I'm never going to pluck her again. Yeah. I mean, they'll never do that again.
Yeah, there is some, there's some controversy whether it's better to pluck that hair or to let it stay. And I usually say if the dog has chronic ear infections and it has the hair in the ears, then pluck it out, and that might make a difference. But if it's not causing a problem, then just leave it.
Well, they get a little... But I usually just use the kind of washes, but I was wondering if there was a wash that was not irritating and maybe more effective.
Yeah, well, one of the most basic, simple washes that I use is just witch hazel. And witch hazel is very gentle, and it's a natural antiseptic. You can even dilute it maybe 50-50 with water. And that's a very simple ear wash that you can use. Another one that you can use is using vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is what I recommend. And that it's good to start at maybe a 25% solution or a 50% solution, but that's also a good soothing antiseptic.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Mary in Westfield, hi to you.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two cats. When I take brewer's yeast, they come racing in the bathroom and beg for it. And I want to know why they crave it and if it'll hurt them. They want brewer's yeast.
Wow, that is amazing. And actually, brewer's yeast is wonderful. Now, some animals will have allergies to brewer's yeast, so you have to be careful. But if your cats are craving it, then it's not going to be a problem. And actually, brewer's yeast is one of the most effective natural flea and tick repellents.
Oh.
Taking it internally, and you can also put it on externally, kind of brush it in with the skin, and that's a natural flea and tick repellent. So, natural antiparasitic. So, no, it's definitely fine, and it's healthy for them.
There you go. So, good luck with it, Mary, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, she owns and has founded Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And it's really a lot of fun to be able to talk with her. Hope you'll join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll be back right after the news. Sometimes a thick line is drawn between conventional medicine and herbal remedies, but you know, the truth is most modern day medications were developed from age-old herbal preparations, and those herbal treatments can be very effective and easier on our bodies too. And as well, it'll work for our pets too. Larry Mueller here, Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. She's been with us a number of times now. Great always to have her here. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic. It's over on located on the east side of Madison, a block or so from my house. She's a graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. She uses a range of alternative therapies to complement her traditional veterinary medical training. And Dr. Carrie, it's great always, as always, to have you back.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
We have every line filled with callers and a lot of Facebook and email questions. I think we'll just go right to the phones. Kelly in Lake Nabagamon, we go to you next. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have a cat, 8-year-old Maine Coon, and I use essential oils primarily in my house for cleaning, primarily thieves oil. And I've read a lot of mixed reviews on essential oils and some being potentially harmful to your pet. So I was just wondering if she could touch on, you know, oils that I should make sure that I'm not using in the home, mm-hmm. or if I'm okay, I can take my answer off here.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Yes, I think essential oils are wonderful, and I use them quite a bit, but you definitely have to be careful with animals, and especially cats. With cats, I always stay away from any of the citrus oils, lemongrass, grapefruit, because those can potentially be toxic to cats, so just be very careful. The other thing, just in general, using essential oils with animals, it's always very good to dilute the oil in a carrier oil like olive oil or sesame seed oil, just to make sure they're not getting it full strength and to try it out first. And what I always do if I ever use essential oils with an animal is put a little bit on my hands, rub my hands together, and then sort of offer it to the animal and let them smell my hands. If they back away really quickly, then I don't use the essential oil. If it seems like they're interested and they lick my hand, then I will go ahead and dilute the oil and then sort of use it. If you're using it topically, rub it in with a little olive oil and then put it on your animal.
There we go. Thank you very much for that question. Someone asked our earlier show with our two dentists whether or not tea tree oil can help prevent dental disease. They weren't sure. Have you had any experience with that?
Yes, and tea tree oil is another one of the essential oils that you do want to be a little bit careful with. I don't recommend using tea tree oil internally. And tea tree oil is actually it's a very good oil to use for any skin conditions or any ear infections. But again, you just want to make sure that it's very, very dilute. So use one or two drops of tea tree oil in a full tablespoon or more of a carrier oil like olive oil. So make sure it's very dilute and don't put anything internally. Don't mix it in with the food or anything else that's going in the mouth.
And an email question from Stacy in Duluth, Minnesota, has a 14-year-old cat with dementia setting in. Unfortunately, I'm not sure there's any kind of remedy for dementia, but are there things that we can do to sort of help?
Boy, yes, and one of the great herbs that is very helpful for dementia in animals, just like with humans, for any sort of cognitive dysfunction is ginkgo.
Oh.
So ginkgo is one of those herbs that you can use, and what it does is it increases circulation. So it increases blood flow to all the organs of the body, and especially to the brain. So it increases blood flow to the brain and can actually help. And the thing is with ginkgo is you do have to use it for a longer term. So you have to plan on using it for about 2 months before you might see any effects of it, but it's only going to help.
Very good. Lisa in Summit Lake, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have a 13-year-old dog who was just recently diagnosed with cancer. And I am wondering, she's been dealing with an upset stomach. And I was wondering if there is anything we can give to her herbally as far as to help her with her upset stomach and relieve any pain she might be in.
Oh, okay. So when you say upset stomach, is she vomiting or is she having any diarrhea or what's going on with that?
She is currently going through both.
Okay.
Because at the same time, she was diagnosed with whipworms.
Oh, okay. So one of the greatest herbs that can help with, well, actually there are two that I will use for any digestive tract disorders, vomiting, diarrhea, anything that might be causing an upset stomach. One of them is ginger, and that's a great one that, you know, we use quite a bit, and it's also wonderful for animals. It helps with any nausea, it helps with upset stomach. And what you can do is you can take ginger root, and you can boil it in water and make sort of a tea, and then strain it out, and then add in that either syringe that water into your animal's mouth, you can mix it in with their food, add some drops into their regular water dish, and that can help. Another wonderful herb for any sort of stomach or GI upset is called slippery elm. And slippery elm you can get in bulk as a powder, and you mix that in with a little bit of warm water, and it kind of makes this gel that you can also mix in with the food or just give directly in the mouth, or you can make sort of a tea with it and mix that in. So those are two wonderful GI tract helpers that kind of help with any inflammation, any vomiting, diarrhea, just help them feel a little bit better.
Okay. There you go, Lisa. Thank you. Martin in Eagle River. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just a little bit off track, but being this time of year when the ice is starting to thaw and all, obviously keep an eye on your pets on the lake. We do ice water rescue, and I guess my question is, we went out and retrieved pets, and some of them have gone under right as we get to them. Is there any, what's the best way for trying to revive them, if there is any?
Wow, Well, you are doing some wonderful work. That is just excellent. So there are two things that I have in mind that will help in emergency situations for resuscitating animals. The first one that's really good to have on hand, and it's sort of a homeopathic remedy, and it's made by Bach Flowers, and it's called Rescue Remedy, and you can get this at most health food stores. It's a blend of different flower essences that has been used in cases of trauma and emergency and for resuscitation. So that's always a good thing to have on hand. It's called Rescue Remedy.
What do you do with it? Is it?
It's kind of like a tincture. So it's a liquid and it comes in a little dropper bottle. So all you have to do is drop a couple of drops of the Rescue Remedy on the tongue or in the mouth of the animal or really anywhere. You can put it on your hands and then rub it on them. Any way to get it onto the animal to get it absorbed, it will help.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And the other big resuscitation advice that I can give you, there is an acupuncture point that is just below the nostrils of an animal. And if you press that point, that can help with resuscitation. So it's called GV-26. And you could actually look it up online to find out exactly where it is. But it's on the nose right below the nostrils. And that is actually known as the resuscitation point. So that might be worth looking that up and finding out where that point is. And you can use that even just using your finger and applying pressure at that point.
Okay.
That's great. Great tips. Thanks, Martin.
All right.
And
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and thanks
you.
Thanks for your great work too. That's wonderful that you do that.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Kay and Stoughton, on to you now. Hi Kay, thank you for calling.
And thanks for taking my call, and oh, I do hope you can help. I have a 4-year-old golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
We are the new owner of this dog. She actually was a retired show dog, not a retired, we now own her, instead mm-hmm. of being a show dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been flown by airplane to California, driven from California to Colorado, driven from Colorado to Wisconsin here. She is terrified of going in the car. She goes past the car and it starts, the panting starts. I've done it with the crate because the prior owner said that she only traveled in a crate. You put her in a crate, you close the door, the panting starts, and she is, like, out of it. And then the digging starts. It's frantic. So then I took the crate out of the car, and I thought, okay, we'll put her in the car. We'll bring food with us. And you get her in the car, and she's fine. She goes with the other dog just fine for a little while. Then the panting starts. Then the stiffness starts, and then she's out of it. Help. What can we do for her to help her look a little better or be in a better mood before we get to the car?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, a couple of different things. Now, going back to the Bach Flowers, this Rescue Remedy is one of my absolute top favorite types of things to use for animals that have any anxiety.
Wow.
So traveling in the car, it's always good to have this Rescue Remedy on hand. It can really take the edge off and help with any anxiety, nervousness. So that's a good thing to do. And you can actually give it a couple hours before you go and give it again right before you go, just a couple drops right in the mouth. Another herb that can be very helpful for just kind of calming and sedating without actually knocking them out is valerian root.
Okay.
And you can find valerian really anywhere. At any health food stores, you can buy it in bulk, you can buy it as capsules, and that has a really great calming effect on animals. So that might be something, too, that you could give maybe an hour before you are planning to go anywhere, and that would help just kind of take the edge off and help her to relax.
Oh, I'm most happy to try these. I like the idea of either one of them. Maybe we'll have to try both of them, but we got to get there. She's
yes.
got to go with us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Kay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have Ed in Bristol up next. Hello, Ed.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Good. Well, we've got a cat. She's maybe 6 years old, and she's a vomiter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried different foods, different size foods, golf ball in the dish so she'd have to eat around it. And
mm-hmm. She gobbles it up?
Otherwise. Yeah, I think she's just wolfing it down, and then a few minutes later, out she comes.
Oh, okay. And is that happening every time that she eats or just certain times?
Yeah, it varies. She'll go for periods of time where she won't, and then she'll go through periods where it's, you know, a couple times a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with chronic vomiting cats, I always say, and it sounds like you have, switching the foods. So food allergies a lot of times have something to do with that. Another thing that you could try would be feeding her smaller meals throughout the day, maybe three or four small meals throughout the day. And another herbal supplement that might help with that, and I think I mentioned this before, is slippery elm. Slippery elm is one of those kind of wonder herbs for the GI tract, and it can help with vomiting. It can help kind of soothe any inflamed tissue. So that might be something to try as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know it works good for me for a sore throat. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Ed.
Great. Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And, you know, you can always put the food, put the cat, if it's really eating, gulping it down, you could, aren't there some little devices that you can put the food in, the cat's got to work at it.
Yes.
It's like dogs, you have to work at it to get a piece out. And
exactly. And there are a lot of products out there right now that, you know, kind of make your cat work for the food and take some time, and so they don't gulp it down too quickly.
Glenn in Wausau. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Very interesting show. And I have a yellow lab mix. And he's had some chronic ear problems, nothing real bad. I've taken him into my vet, and they've just given me some drops. But, you know, those drops really have never helped. Mm-hmm. And he paws at his ears, not viciously, you know, just kind of casually and occasionally every day, of course, but kind of scratches them and rubs them. And so I'm curious about the witch hazel mixture and the vinegar mixture. How much should I try? I mean, how much, you know, he's about a 65-pound dog, and I was just curious, what kind of, how many drops, how many times a day?
Yeah, well, the witch hazel you can use straight, and you don't have to dilute it, and you're going to kind of use it like the conventional ear flushes. So you just kind of hold the ear up and fill up the ear canal with the witch hazel, and then sort of massage at the base of the ear so it goes up and down the ear canal, and then wipe out any excess. And any that's left in the ear will sort of work as an antiseptic, antibacterial, and will treat any sort of bacteria or yeast that might be in there in low levels. If you are dealing with more irritation or more of what you think might be the start of an infection, then I would go towards using the vinegar. And you can start, what I would do is start out with a 25% vinegar, 75% water mix. And if your dog is fine with that, then move up to 50-50. If that's okay, you can move up to 75% vinegar. You could even go to a straight vinegar flush, as long as it's not too irritating. If there are any sort of open areas where that your dog has been scratching, that vinegar gets in there, it might be, you know, a little bit painful. So that's why I say start out very dilute. But you know, there's no set amount. You just kind of want to pour a little bit into the ear canal and then let your dog shake out any excess.
Okay, excellent.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, appreciate the call. We have a caller who couldn't stay on, wondered about natural flea and tick repellents.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there are always options out there for natural flea and tick repellents. And what I usually end up using are more of the essential oils than anything else for a natural flea and tick repellent. And there are a number of them out there that work naturally. Now, if you are going to use anything like that, you end up applying it maybe once or twice a day, once or twice a week, just depending on how often your dog or cat is going to be coming into contact with the fleas and ticks. But there are a number of essential oils that you can use, including lavender, clove, cinnamon, eucalyptus, lemongrass, citronella, any of those you can use. You can use all of them together in a blend, or you can use one or two at a time and see if one or two of them work better than any other one. You can even make up your own shampoos where you just use a basic simple shampoo for dogs, and then you add a couple of drops of any one of those essential oils to it. Bathe your dog once a week in that, and that's always a good idea to do anyway. Make sure that you're combing your dog when he comes in from, you know, either being out in the woods or after you go for a walk, just to make sure that you're getting anything off that might have attached or gotten on him when he's outside. So, and then actually internally, garlic is one of the most wonderful, garlic and brewer's yeast, to naturally prevent them from getting fleas and ticks from the inside out. And really, the best protection that your dog has against getting fleas and ticks is having a healthy immune system. So we oftentimes don't see dogs that are in great health that come down with flea infestations. So that's the biggest thing that you can do, is make sure that they're getting fresh and healthy food, being fed a good diet, and being in a good, clean environment. And that's one of the biggest things that you can do to prevent your dog from getting fleas and ticks. Now, ticks are, I mean, that's one of the hardest things, because we are in a hot spot for Lyme disease here
it's
in
terrible.
Dane County. And to be honest, a lot of the herbal and the essential oil blends are not enough to protect your dog from getting ticks. So if you know that you're going to be coming into contact with heavy tick-infested areas, it might be a good idea to think about using something like Frontline or Advantix or one of those insecticide or parasiticide topical treatments for your dogs, just to give them an extra level of protection.
Sue in Delafield. Let's go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Love the show. I just wanted to know, I recently lost my Border Collie lab mix to kidney disease. She was 15. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's a more natural euthanasia for pet lovers out there. It's a lot of expense, and I know a lot of our listeners, a lot of your listeners probably are feeling the economic crunch, and, it's much more pleasant at home than it is at the office.
Yes, definitely. I know there has been some research into natural euthanasia techniques using a type of herb, but nothing that I have found consistently that works, and it's not anything that I would recommend. There are veterinarians, and part of my practice, too, is providing home euthanasia for patients and for owners who don't want to bring their animals into the vet. And I, if there was a holistic alternative, believe me, I would know about it, and I would give you the information, but there is nothing that I have found. So I do recommend having a veterinarian perform the euthanasia.
And there are, as you say, you have gone to people's homes.
Yes.
And performed that.
Yeah, and that is part of my practice, and that is part of, what I consider the holistic perspective and the full circle. And that's part of why my practice is what it is, because providing care in life and then also in death is very important to me.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's talk a little bit more about your service, as a matter of fact. Now, I have a link to your website on my Facebook page. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. FullCirclePet.com.
FullCirclePet.com, and what you provide pretty much all services?
I do, yes. So I do provide holistic herbal alternatives. I do quite a bit of acupuncture. So acupuncture is a large part of my practice. And then nutritional consults, I do that as well. And then, like I mentioned before, the euthanasia, and a big part of what I do is also hospice care. So when you know that your animal is sick and it might be getting to the end of its life, whether it does have something like kidney disease or if it has cancer, and you've decided that you don't want to do any aggressive therapies and you're interested in a more natural approach, that's part of what I do too, is holistic hospice care for animals, just to provide the support and any pain relief that they might need towards the end of their life.
Oh, so that's a great, that's a wonderful service.
Oh, yeah.
It and your training, you were classically trained, I guess you could say, here at the University of Wisconsin, but then also got that extra holistic training.
Yes. And actually to perform acupuncture on animals, you have to be a veterinarian. So you have to go through everything, which I'm very glad I did, because I have that background in the conventional medicine and I still use it quite a bit as needed. And then I can incorporate the holistic approach too, and any alternatives to, and I really strive to offer everything to my patients and to give them options. Well, do you want to try a conventional medication, or do you want to try herbs first, or do you want to try acupuncture? You know, just to give options. And there are always alternatives, and to really help people make the decisions that they want to make for their animals.
Carrie, thank you so much. And you'll take a look online at our Facebook page and see if there's a question or two that hasn't gotten answered.
I will. I will do that. Yes.
Dr. Carrie Donahue from Full Circle Veterinary Care.
Thank you.